Yo, what up? We're back. It's been a while, but we're finna get into this prediction video. But, you know, a lot of stuff has happened since, you know, this little break. You know, Conor McGregor's fighting Cowboy. Tony Ferguson versus Khabib is official. So, shit, man. I mean, a lot of cool shit's been going down in the MMA world. So, yeah, put down in the comments, what do you think about that? What do you think about Khabib versus Tony? Do you actually think it's gonna go down this time? Who do you think's gonna win? Conor versus Cowboy, you think Conor's gonna come back, get that win, or you think Cowboy's gonna, you know, maybe even retire him, who knows? But two really good fights there. But today we're gonna deal with the UFC on ESPN 7, UFC DC, and the first fight of the night is a pretty solid fight with Trevor Smith taking on Mahmoud Muradov. And you know, Muradov, he's turning around just 2 months after his UFC debut. He did jump in on short notice here. And he had a very entertaining fight in his debut with Alessio De Chirico. He fought at a really torrid pace. I mean, he was really pushing the pace even when he had the fight in the bag. Really is a fun fighter to watch. And this is going to be his sixth fight of 2019. So he's been very active as well. And he's a strong athlete, good movement, very fast and explosive closing the distance. And a really nice jab, good left hook. And he's always moving, giving different angles, light on his feet. He'll switch stances. And he definitely likes to touch with the jab or the left hook and kind of use it as a range finder for his right hands, his right hook, his straight, his uppercut. And he has one punch power in that right hand for sure. I mean, I've seen him knock people out with the uppercut, with the straight right, with the right hook. I mean, his overhand right as well as money. And he'll mix in lead elbows, up elbows. Sometimes he can hold his hands low. His chin kind of will jut out a little bit. And we saw that in his last fight. I mean, De Chirico did hit him with some huge punches in the third round. And like I said, he did show some poor fight IQ. He was continuing to brawl. And he gave De Chirico some chances to win in round three when he was a little bit tired, a little bit rocked. And he didn't need to do that. But, you know, it's fun for the fans to watch. But he also has a pretty dynamic kicking game. He throws nasty front kicks up the middle. He'll go body head with those. Really nice round kicks, switch kicks, question mark kicks, and very nice jumping roundhouse kicks or front kicks to the body and the head. I mean, very accurate as well, and very little wasted movement. And he could throw the kicks with both legs from both stances. And he'll, you know, has really nice flying knees as well when he can back opponents up. He's finished fights with flying knees, and he's just a dynamic athlete. He has knockout power. And on the feet, you know, I definitely see him having a sizable advantage. Excuse me, I do feel he's hittable, but it hasn't really been exploited yet, and I just don't think Trevor Smith is the guy to do that. Muradov does have 15 KO TKOs. He's finished 8 of his 10 wins by knockout, and he has been finished one time in his career by TKO due to doctor stoppage, but definitely has a good chin. He's hard to stop, and he has a pretty solid grappling game as well. He has a fast double leg. He finishes well. He can explode into slams, turns the corner well. And he looks heavy in top position when he can posture up. He will rain down some big, heavy ground and pound. But he doesn't look super comfortable in top position against good jiu-jitsu players. When he fought at black belt and Alberto Uda, he was, you know, threatened a little bit inside of Uda's guard. And he just stood up and he just didn't want to deal with that. But he was able to drop Uda with the overhand right and followed up with some brutal ground and pound that put Uda to sleep. I mean, disgusting flying punch that landed clean. Then he followed up with some really big elbows. And in his match with Wendell Oliveira, he almost took his back, but he just let him get back to his feet again. So I feel like he's really not super keen on having top control. But in the second round of that fight, he did get some wrestling ride time. He finished the fight there. He will trap the far wrist, throw down blows. And, you know, on top, he actually, I feel like his ground and pound is dangerous for sure, but he can back himself up towards the cage at times. Obviously, when you throw those, you know, jumping kicks, flying knees, you do put yourself in position to be taken down sometimes, but he has very good takedown defense. I mean, in the clinch, he's hard to take down. He digs double underhooks of his own quickly. He'll change position. He'll look for trips, with just, you know, disengaging usually, but, you know, I haven't seen him taken down much in recent fights, and he's dangerous to take down also. I mean, you'll counter with the flying knees, the uppers, and it looked like Muradov had some issues with submission defense early in his career. He was submitted 3 times out of his first 4 losses, but he hasn't lost by submission in almost 7 years now, and he only has 3 submissions himself. Not a big threat there, but for Trevor Smith, he's going to be getting his first fight of 2019, and he's taking a year off following that decision loss to Zach Cummings. He dropped 2 close decisions back-to-back, And, you know, he's had two opponents pull out for this fight, and Muradov is the third opponent. But knowing Smith, man, I don't think he cares. I don't think that's going to bother him at all. And he may not be the most technical or athletic guy, but he's a dog, man. He pushes people, and win or lose, you know you're in a fight with Trevor Smith. And at 38 years old, his best days are probably behind him, but he could still be a stiff test for up-and-comers. And his striking is not very diverse. He will come forward, control the center, but his footwork is slow. It's a little bit plodding, and he, you know, likes to hold his chin behind his shoulder, kind of try to use the shoulder roll, the Philly shell, his lead hand low so he can find his range. He'll paw with the lead hand until he can kind of jump into a leaping left hook or overhand right. And he will throw some heavy left hooks, come over the top with right hooks, overhands. And he has power in his hands. He has no problem trading, but he'll rarely throw in combination, really, or throw straight punches. Almost all his punches are wide, and he tends to use his punches a lot as just body lock entries where I don't really think he's trying to hurt you with them. He won't mix in some low leg kicks, but that's about the extent of his arsenal on the feet. He does have excellent cardio. He will continue to walk fighters down and take damage, stay solid, wear on guys. And as the fight goes on, you start to see people slow down. That's where, you know, he could start to cut him off better because his foot speed is slow. And against a guy like Muradov, I could see him really struggling to get inside early on. And he's going to have to, you know, have a workmanlike performance to wear on Muradov before he could have success. But Smith will try to move his head. He's improved his defense a bit, but he's still very hittable. And part of his game is predicated on being able to absorb punishment, you know, get it where he wants it. And he ducks his head a lot when he throws, and I feel like those knees will be there. And he's just a little bit slow, you know, he's not very fast. And he has been KO'd, TKO'd four times in his career. He only has one career KO, which happened in his first pro fight, so he's not really a big threat to get a knockout. But he is a former All-American wrestler out of Iowa State, very big physical guy for 185. And he thrives in the trenches, man, grappling in a clinch against a cage when he's in top position. He likes to make it dirty, and that's his world. You know, he'll get the single collar clinch, throw uppercuts, short hooks, good dirty boxing. He doesn't really shoot takedowns at range much, but he will use punch to back punch to the fence where he'll get in on the legs or a tight waist. He'll get takedowns from the clinch, and when he can get his hands connected, he's very strong. He can bully a lot of lesser grapplers around. And in top position, he's very strong also. He'll get half guard where he has strong control, land ground and pound, body head. He'll make opponents give their backs, flatten him out, finish the fight. And he's dangerous with submissions as well. He's has five guillotine finishes. And, you know, he is hard to take down. And he did pull guard in a guillotine versus Zach Cummings that put him on his back. So he can kind of put himself on his back with the guillotines. But he seems to be able to scribble back up to his feet very quickly. He'll use switches. He'll dig strong underhooks to reverse position. Even in the scrambles, he's pretty solid. And he will get in on a single from bottom reverse position. He did get dropped by Zach Cummings in his last fight. But he was able to reverse and control on top after Zach Cummings got on top of him. And he was also able to shuck back Zach Cummings off his back and take top position that way as well. And he's not a guy that's going to stop in grappling scenarios. I mean, he's going to outwill you if it becomes a you know, battle of wills, most likely. He does have 9 submissions, but none since 2012. His last 6 fights have all gone to decision. In my opinion, the UFC is obviously trying to get Mahmoud a win here. They're giving him a 38-year-old fighter coming off a year-long layoff, 2 consecutive losses. It is short notice for Mahmoud, but, you know, I'm sure they believe he can win. I guess it wasn't set up for him, but, you know, he just needs to use his footwork, show superior foot speed, move, don't stay stationary. And when Smith overextends, you know, make him pay with the sharp counters, with the knees up the middle. And I would kind of look to holster some of the kicks, some of the spins, because Smith is going to solely be looking for takedowns. I do see the possibility of that highlight reel KO with the flying knee. And I think if he stays standing, Muradov is definitely going to win. The only way I think Muradov could really lose this fight is if he gets really tired, or he just shows his takedown defense is not what I think it is. But I don't think those things are going to happen, though. I see Mahmoud getting the win. And I'm not sure if it's going to be a finish or he's going to finish Smith. But I'm going to say that he gets a win via flying knee in the third round. And up next here we have a women's strawweight fight. And it's a short notice fight for Mallory Martin. And Mallory Martin, you know, she's a girl that fought on the Contender Series. She just fought recently in Invicta, picked up another win. She's actually dating Daron Wynn, so I feel like I believe she's been training at AKA, even though she hasn't really been training because I think she got this fight on very short notice. I heard an interview where she was saying she like just finished eating a pizza before she or right before she got the call, but she is in California with Daron, so I think she is getting that training in at AKA, and she's a decent striker. She will go body head with her punches. She has tight hooks, some decent punches inside. And her defense, though, is just not great. She's very hittable, and she'll walk into shots. But she's a very tough chick. She's very durable. She can get in a war and pull through, and she's never been finished. She's actually the only fighter to go the distance with Macy Barber. And in her last three fights, she's really dominated on the ground. You know, she has good singles and doubles, a good rear naked choke. And that's what she's going to be trying to do here, I believe. I believe she's going to be trying to pressure, go body head, get inside, use her hooks, use her straight punches to back Verna up, and then time those double legs, get the takedowns, and, you know, just try to win a decision here. But for Jana Roba, she isn't the greatest striker. She's a little bit slow, stiff with her technique, but she has power, and I feel like she has the better striking arsenal here than Mallory Martin. I feel like she's more accurate, she's better defense, she's a little bit sharper, and you know, I feel like if this gets into a war, who knows, because Martin is a tough chick, and I feel like maybe she'll be able to, you know, outgrit Jana Roba. But you know, Jana Roba's a strong wrestler, she has good timing on her doubles as well, and if she puts Mallory Martin on her back, I definitely think she's gonna be able to pass the dominant positions, start to land her ground and pound, look for her arm triangles, look for the guillotine, the crucifix, and she's just really good at that. But even off her back, man, this is why I kind of feel like this fight leans towards Jana Roba getting the win, because I feel like on the feet, Jana Roba has very good pressure. She's a big girl. She's fast, I believe, and I believe that, you know, she has decent striking, where I think she's going to be able to outstrike Mallory Martin, to be honest with you. And I feel like Mallory Martin may get takedowns, but Jana Roba is pretty good off her back. You know, she has that half-guard sweep game on point. She'll get butterflies. She'll get the foot on the hips and push off. And, you know, I believe she's going to be very hard to hold down for Mallory Martin. I don't know if she's going to be able to sweep and get dominant positions on Martin or get takedowns. But I do believe if Martin takes her down, she's going to be able to reverse scramble back to her feet. And it's going to become a striking battle again. And I just believe that Verna Jana Roba, she's going to get this win here. I think she needs the win. She just had a loss to Carla Esparza, who's a similar fighter here to Mallory Martin, I believe. You know, they're both going to try to get the takedown. They're both going to try to box inside. But Verna, you know, she handled Carla in terms of the striking in her last fight. And she was able to reverse Carla. She was able to scramble back to her feet with that half-guard sweep. And I feel like she's just a little bit too far along for Mallory Martin. I think she's going to be a little bit too good for Mallory. And I do think Mallory Martin is a very tough chick. She's someone that could potentially get the win in this fight and get some wins in the UFC. But my pick here is going to be Verna Jana Roba via decision. And up next here, this is actually going to be my most confident pick on the card, with Joe Selecki taking on Matt Wyman. And Joe Selecki is going to be looking to make his UFC debut here. He had that excellent performance on the Dana White Contender Series. He kind of just buzzsawed through James Wallace. And he's one of the best jiu-jitsu practitioners in the United States. It's hard to find many of his MMA fights online, but I've known about this guy for a while. I've known about him on the jiu-jitsu scene. And I couldn't find either of his MMA losses, but he's still very young in his career. 7 of his 8 wins have been in round 1. And in his 3 fights that have gone past round 1, he's only 1-2, so that's not a very good record there. And on the feet, it's hard to say truly how good he is. On the Dana White Contender Series, though, his striking looked decent. He looked pretty fluid with his movement. He was light on his feet. He was moving his head. He was throwing some hard low kicks. Very nice left hook. He uses a low stance, a lot of fakes. He'll come up into hook combinations, back down to the legs. And in the fights I've seen, he's actually been able to safely use his striking to eventually do what he wanted, which was get it to the ground. And he's not one of these guys that is a jiu-jitsu guy that transitioned into MMA. Selecki's been a guy that's been in the gym training all facets of martial arts for years, I believe since he was a young kid. So he's one of these new breed guys that has been training in MMA for a long time. He just had a big emphasis on jiu-jitsu. But on the feet, you know, defensively, he does hold his chin a bit high. He has been knocked out in the past, and it was a pretty brutal knockout. I didn't really get to see the fight, but I heard he was dominating that fight, and then he just got caught. But the knockout was pretty bad. I have seen the actual knockout. But Overall, I think he's a pretty plus athlete. His striking doesn't look low level by any means, and he's not a big threat to get the knockout. He only has one career TKO, but he's an elite jiu-jitsu competitor. When he gets opponents to the mat, you see his clear advantage, and usually the fight ends shortly after. He has really nice double legs, and he'll get right into side control. He also will catch kicks, get takedowns, and when he gets the fight to the floor, very heavy top pressure, great control. He'll try to trap wrists, land short punches, move to the back. He'll search for arm triangles, but rear naked chokes are really his thing. Really excellent at finding his way to get the hooks in. He'll control the back position in the scrambles very well. He'll soften opponents up before locking in the chokes, finishing the fight. And he'll set up guillotines, triangles from the back as well. He got a nasty guillotine in his last match. He will allow opponents to turn in and then just cinch it in. And he's dangerous off his back with triangles, armbars, guillotines. So even if you're inside his guard, you're in trouble. He has 6 submissions and 8 wins. He's has one of the best ground games in the division immediately, in my opinion. I mean, this is a guy that's been out there grappling with guys like Gary Tonin. He submitted He submitted a UFC black belt very quickly in a fight, but I can't remember who that was at this second. But yeah, he's a very high-level jiu-jitsu guy. And I'm really not sure how much of a step up Matt Wyman is at this point in Matt Wyman's career, because Matt Wyman had a very rough re-entry into the UFC in his last contest. I mean, he made the return to the octagon after nearly 5 years away from the sport, and he was completely butchered by Luis Pena. He ultimately got finished in the third round, and he's returning 6 months later, so maybe he'll look better after knocking some rust off, but his striking just did not look good in his return bout. He was throwing a lot of low kicks, especially early, but they didn't seem to have much sting on him. He was reaching a lot. He was lunging in with punches. He was also cut bad with a shot less than a minute into the fight. And in this fight, man, I just don't see many ways Wyman can win. I mean, he's a fighter who likes to grapple. And I feel on the feet, he's slower, he's less sharp than Selecki. So a guy that's going to give Selecki problems is a guy that's going to outstrike him. And I think Selecki's going to be able to get the grappling match he wants here and just dominate. And I do see him eventually getting a choke and putting Wyman out unconscious. I don't think Wyman's a guy that's going to tap out, really. And I think he's going to be able to maybe get a first, second round rear naked choke. Probably in the first round. I mean, Selecki likes to do his work quick. And I just feel like Wyman, I mean, unless he could just catch with the one big punch, or I just don't see a lot of ways Wyman can win the fight. I really don't. I mean, if you guys are on Wyman, tell me how you think he's going to win, what he's going to do. But, man, I mean, I just don't see many ways for Matt Wyman to get this win. So I'm going with Joe Selecki, and he is my most confident pick of the card. And up next year, we actually have a really fun fight, in my opinion. Matt Sales taking on Bryce Mitchell. And Matt Sales, he bounced back from that debut loss. He had that third-round finisher Kyle Nelson in the second UFC fight. And he's a guy of a Dom Cruz guy. He's a protege of Dom Cruz. He had some hype around him. And he's a very good striker. He's constantly coming forward, faking, feigning, banging the body. And he wears on opponents with constant forward pressure, body attack. Sales was throwing some heavy low kicks in his last match as well. And he has nice long-range attacks. Really nice straight right hands. He'll double, triple up on it to get into range. Very accurate and powerful. Nasty overhand right. He'll use a lot of front and round kicks, mostly to the body. But he will sneak it up to the head at times. And he likes to wear on opponents until they're willing to trade in the pocket. And in the pocket, that's where Sales has elite head movement. He'll slip and rip. He'll really will make opponents pay. He'll get the jab going. 1-2s. Has excellent feints. He'll freeze guys. He'll use the straight right hand, front kicks to the body, just torture opponents by feigning one technique using the other. And his defense is pretty excellent. I mean, opponents get demoralized by missing him. He's very good at exiting by using his lead hand. He'll back up while landing a left hook, reset. And he does hold his hands low. He isn't an elite athlete, so sometimes opponents can close a distance, land on him, or touch him in the pocket. But he's very durable, and he doesn't take much damage overall in most fights. He has great footwork, good movement, and his work rate is high. He keeps a deliberate pace. He won't slow down. When he sees opponents tiring, he'll pour it on, try to get him out of there. And he has 6 KO TKOs in his 8 victories. He's never been finished by strikes. And Matt Sales is a solid grappler as well, but it is his weak point. He won't really wrestle offensively too much in fights. In this fight, I don't expect him to be offensive with his wrestling at all. His takedown defense looked very good in his last match, though. He was very good at disengaging from the clinch. He was sprawling, using underhooks to deny the shots. And he's a very good scrambler, and he doesn't really accept bottom position. He'll create scrambles immediately after being taken down. He's very hard to hold down. But he has gave his back to stand up in multiple fights. George Hickman and Kyle Nelson, they did take the back, lock in tight rear naked chokes. But Sales is not a quick tapper. I mean, you have to put him out cold, it seems. And he was able to stay calm, work out of those bad situations in both scenarios. And he actually won both of those. Or actually, he lost to George Hickman, which was a huge robbery, man. But Sales will also reverse takedowns. Take top position where he's shown to be strong, and he was able to dominate Kyle Nelson in top position multiple times. You know, he took the mount multiple times. He eventually finished with an arm triangle, and Sales needs to sure something's up on the ground as far as giving up the back or the neck, but I think only an elite grappler could really exploit him, and he's never been submitted. This is a huge fight career trajectory wise for both fighters, so I expect Sales and Mitchell to come in here very motivated, ready to go. And Bryce Mitchell, he's 2-0 so far in his UFC tenure. He did earn close decision victories in both fights, and he's proven to be extremely tough. I mean, he's a dog, man. He has no quit in him at all. But on the feet, you know, Mitchell likes to fight long. He's pretty quick in and out, good feints. He'll switch stances, and he's fluid from both stances. He actually has a really nice straight right hand, a nice right hook. He'll slip, throw hard left hooks. Really solid jab as well, and he has good hooks in combination in close range, fast hand speed. He will throw a lot of, left hooks, and then front kicks to the body or the head, and he'll throw front kicks, step in, knees, jumping roundhouse kicks, and he's good at feinting level changes into his left hook. He will also throw a right uppercut left hook combination, and he has a nice right hook to the body. He'll also throw round kicks to the head, question mark kicks to the head, and he's very quick, and he'll slide out of the way of shots and return with counters such as check left hooks, right straights, and he does slow down a bit in fights, and that's where he can start to get hit with some big shots. His defense in the pocket as the fight goes on kind of gets worse because he'll drop his hands, he'll get a little bit tired, a little bit nonchalant, and that's where he starts to get hit with some big shots. And he doesn't really have big power to back guys off. Most of his wins are via submission. He's never gotten a KO, TKO. And he's never been finished by strikes, though. I mean, this guy's very tough. I don't think you're going to be able to TKO him unless you really put a lot of damage on him. He's one of these guys that you're going to probably have to put out cold. But Mitchell is a solid grappler. He has a lot of submission wins, and that's what he's going to be looking to do here. He sets his shots up very well with the strikes, and in the clinch, he has very nice knees to the legs, to the body. He'll dig underhooks. He has nice control against the cage. But he has very good double leg takedowns. He'll shoot single legs in the open mat. But he really likes the double legs against the cage. And he'll back poach to the cage with a combination, finish with the double, good body lock as well. And in top position, he likes to use heavy top pressure. He'll pass. He really has pretty nice back takes, which is the danger here for Matt Sales. I mean, Matt Sales, I feel like he's a better striker. I feel like he may be a better wrestler. But if Mitchell could get the takedown, get his back, he has some funky back takes as well, where I feel like he could potentially win the scrambles against a guy like Matt Sales and maybe get the rear naked choke. But he'll get a high guard as well. He'll slowly bring his legs up. If you take him down, he'll attack with triangles, R-bars, and, he's good everywhere. He'll attack with Kimuras. He's, he's going to be the better grappler here. But the way I see this fight going down is I just think that Matt Sales' pressure is going to wear on Bryce Mitchell, man. I mean, I've seen Bryce Mitchell in multiple fights where he's huffing and puffing. He's getting tired. And he's been fighting these guys like Bobby Moffitt. He's not necessarily a sharp, sharp striker. And I feel like when he gets tired, his defense starts to get a little bit worse. Matt Sales is going to start exploiting that much more. I think he's going to attack the body early often. And I think that he's going to be able to start putting damage on Bryce Mitchell, especially in the later rounds, the second to the third round. And I think he's going to make it a clear, decisive win if he doesn't get a finish. And I'm actually fairly confident in this one. I'm going with Matt Sales to get the victory. I do see a lot of love for Bryce Mitchell this week. I guess people think he's going to get the takedowns, win through that. But I think Matt Sales is going to have his takedown defense on point. I think he's going to be ready to go cardio-wise. And I think he's just going to you know, out technique but Mitchell on the feet, get him tired, and then start beating him up. So I'm going with Matt Sales to get a decision victory in that fight. Man, up next, I really fucking like this fight, man. Jacob Kilburn taking on Billy Quarantillo. It was actually supposed to be Chris Fishgold taking on Billy Quarantillo, but I think this is a better fight, actually. I mean, Fishy was going to try to take him down, obviously, or probably just, you know, win with grappling, but Jacob Kilburn, man, this guy is a fun style to watch, but he's going to be taking on Billy Quarantillo, and Quarantillo did come through as a big underdog of the Dana White Contender Series. He was able to knock Camilo Kirk out in round three, and he's won five consecutive fights overall, and he's a workman, man. He isn't the most skilled fighter, but he's super durable. He throws hard, and he kind of has an awkward striking style. He's constantly pressuring forward. He'll keep the volume high. He'll feint fake. He'll mix his target up well. He'll throw a nice jab, and he'll occasionally throw straight punches, but he mostly just throws big looping hooks. He'll throw wide left and right hooks. He'll create a lot of distance with his punches. He'll go body head with the hooks. And the way that he does it is he'll use those long, like, almost casting-type hooks on the outside. And when he starts landing and then he'll be able to close the distance, get in that pocket, he'll tighten the hooks up. And that's where he really has some nice tight hooks in close range, good uppercuts. He'll throw in combination, really nice knees to the body, to the head. And he doesn't let opponents breathe in any facet of the game. In the clinch, he'll be throwing knees, dirty boxing. He really poured it on his last opponent on the Contender Series. He really wouldn't let him breathe for a second. He'll throw occasional low kicks, front kicks to the body, but kicks aren't a big part of his game, really. He will throw a lot of naked kicks and get countered off that. And he holds his hands low. He'll walk into bombs a lot, and he ducks his head a lot. He'll throw wide. He'll get countered with tighter shots. He just isn't the fastest guy overall, but he's a zombie, man. He wears the damage. He'll continue to come forward. And he's willing to take damage, and he gives out damage in a lot of fights. And it breaks a lot of guys that way. You know, he eats so much damage, but he's willing to eat a shot to give a shot. And eventually he starts hurting you, and it's just like, damn, this guy's not going away, and now he's hurting me. And then some guys check out. But he has been knocked out with a head kick in the past, and I feel like he has to be very careful with that because Kilburn has some dangerous kicks, man, especially head kicks, very tricky. But Quarantillo has won four consecutive fights via knockout, and he does look to mix it up and wrestle. He will use combinations to create entries into takedowns, usually double legs, but he doesn't have the greatest takedowns. And in this fight, I feel like grappling is his path to victory. I mean, Kilburn's grappling is very questionable. I mean, we saw in the Dana White Contender Series, Bobby Moffitt just took him down, absolutely dominated him both rounds, very little resistance, ultimately found the submission, and his takedowns, he was getting them very easy. So, Quarantillo, I mean, he has to have seen that, and that's going to be his game plan, in my opinion, to get the takedowns, which is interesting, though, because against Chris Fishgold, his game plan, in my opinion, was takedown defense. So, you know, it's a little bit of a different matchup here for Quarantillo, so he's going to have to kind of change his game plan a bit. But he does like to take the back at rear naked chokes, but his takedown defense is not good. I mean, he can off-balance himself with punches. He squares his hips as he pressures sometimes, but off of his back, he's a dangerous guard. He'll attack with arm bars, triangles, elbows, and he also roll for leg locks. But he can get dominated by superior grapplers on the mat. When you pass his guard, he does struggle a bit. He will give up mount or the back. Kirk was able to take his back. Sal Rogers dominated him with grappling on The Ultimate Fighter. Quarantillo does have four submissions, and he's never been submitted. His cardio is probably his biggest asset. He's going to be ready to go here. He's been training at Cerro Longo's. He's riding that wave of momentum. And, man, for Jacob Kilburn, it's an interesting thing, man, because Jacob Kilburn is dangerous. I mean, if you watch this guy, he's striking. His last fight, he landed a left hook. One punch left hook that just floored his opponent, knocked him out cold. He definitely has one punch power in his hands, and he throws sharp punches, man, really sharp. I mean, his striking is nice. He'll throw really nice sharp shots straight down the middle. He'll also mix in a lot of spins, dangerous kicks, man. I mean, he'll throw a 1-2 to a head kick to a spinning kick right after the head kick, and his kicks just come so fluid. I mean, on the feet, Jacob Kilburn is hittable. He's a guy that's a brawler as well. He's kind of similar to Quarantillo in terms of that, where he'll walk forward, he'll eat damage, he'll talk to you, he has great cardio, and he breaks a lot of guys, but he's much sharper on the feet. He's more dangerous, in my opinion. And his head kicks, I honestly feel like he could knock Billy Q out with the head kick. I feel like that's a very, very likely scenario here. But, you know, the thing about Jacob Kilburn and why I believe that his career, even if he wins this fight, his career in the UFC, unless he has some major improvements. I don't think it's going to be a great career because his grappling is almost non-existent, man. I mean, I guess he is a decent jiu-jitsu guy. He does, I believe he has a brown belt, but he, you know, his defense on the ground just, it seems like he tries to stall you out, wait for a referee stand up, and against Bobby Moffitt, I mean, Moffitt was transitioning, he was passing, he was moving to dominant positions, and Kilburn couldn't do anything about it. And if Billy Q could take him down and hold him down or control him, I feel like he'll win the fight that way. But that's not how Billy fights in most fights, man. Billy is a guy that likes to come forward, pressure too, make it a brawl. And this could be an awesome fight, man. This could be like a fight of the night candidate for sure. This could be even like a like one of the best fights of the year, in my opinion. I really believe that if Billy Q and him stand up on the feet and they go to war, it's going to be really, really fun to watch. But I'm actually going to go with the guy on short notice. I'm going with Jacob Kilburn via second round knockout with a head kick. I like this guy striking, man. I like Jacob Kilburn striking. I'm not bullish on him, like I said, in terms of his UFC career, but I am going to pick him in this fight. And if they matchmake him correctly, I feel like he could be a fun guy to watch in the UFC for sure. So I'm going with Jacob Kilburn via knockout. And up next here, we have a veterans fight. Thiago Alves taking on Tim Means. And Tim Means, he's set to make his return for the first time after a knockout loss. He'd gone almost 40 fights before Nico Price finally finished him with strikes. And fuck, man, I mean, Means not only got knocked out, but he also broke his ankle due to the way he landed. It was a pretty savage loss right there. Savage knockout by Nico Price. I mean, what do you expect? But Means, he's lost three of his last four fights. At 35, he may be on his last legs here, but he was dominating the fight with Nico Price previous to getting knocked out. I mean, he was piecing Price up. Price was hurt right before he knocked him out. And we all know what type of guy Price is. That guy can catch you out of nowhere, man. But Means is getting another veteran in Thiago Alves. Good chance to bounce back here, in my opinion. And he's a very sharp striker. Good reach. He's also nasty in close range. Nice 1-2s, good front kicks. He'll throw the 1-2 straight right hand to the body. He'll throw hard, low, and oblique kicks to the legs. Very accurate lead and counter left hook. And he also has a sharp right hook as well, especially in the pocket. He'll throw a straight right, left uppercut. He has a nice step-in knee. Good head movement. He'll slip and rip effectively. He'll throw an overhand uppercut combination, uppercut overhand left. He has nice high kicks, and he keeps the volume high. He'll always be doubling, tripling up on the jabs, keeping the jab in your face. Good job changing the speed of his punches, peppering fighters, mixing in faster, more powerful shots. And he wears fighters out with pressure, and he does like to stick in the pocket and fight in the danger zone. And he's very good at slipping and ripping, using elbows, knees, short-range shots. In his last fight, that did cost him. He got caught and knocked out, but he's also dominated a lot of guys doing that. And you know, Means has only been finished by strikes two times in his career. He has a notoriously great chin, and he has 19 KO TKOs, so he definitely has big power, wears on a lot of guys and takes them out, and he's nasty in the dirty boxing range. I mean, slicing elbows, short hooks, uppercuts, really nice knees to the body. Great job using his underhooks to defend takedowns and put fighters on their back as well. He will also attack with the guillotine, and, you know, he did attack with the guillotine against Bilal Muhammad and almost ruled him out. And good double leg, good body locks. And on top, he does a great job posturing, throwing hard elbows. We saw that against Ricky Rainey. He finished him with some brutal ground and pound. He tends to shoot takedowns when he gets hurt, and he can be submitted by panic wrestling that way. But he has good arm triangles. He doesn't look for submissions very much. In this fight, I do think mixing it up could be a smart game plan because Thiago Alves has been taken down a lot in recent fights. But Means has four submissions. He has been submitted four times. And for Thiago Alves, he's going to be stepping into the octagon for the 27th time, December 7th. He's been in the UFC since 2005, and he's one of the last Mohicans of that era, really. He's a former title challenger. He's done a lot in the sport. But at 36 years old and a loser of three of his last four fights, he definitely has his back against the wall here. And the one win he had versus Max Griffin in that run is a robbery, in my opinion. I mean, he hasn't really been looking great lately, and he has to show that he still has it. He is a striker who's made his career off of hard leg kicks, big power in his hands, nice jab, strong inside outside low kicks. He'll throw the outside low kick to a jab or a double jab to a leg kick, and when he finds his range, gets comfortable in the pocket, he will really start to let his hands go. He does do a good job of just like Means, he'll touch opponents with the jab, wait for the counter, really nice fadeaway left hook, and he's very accurate with it. He's good at slipping the return shot, landing it, nice left hook, straight right hand combo. He'll throw good body kicks, head kicks, good lateral movement, head movement at range, and when he's countering, he has good defense, but he will get wild and try to change the tide of the fight when he's getting finessed from the outside and weighing in with straight punch combinations, get hit with big shots, get hit with knees. He kind of ducks his head inside sometimes. He has the heart in the fight to win, but, you know, he struggles with approach pressure, but gets the feds. He could shell up, and he has 12 KO TKOs, but he hasn't had a KO TKO finish in the last 11 years. So, I mean, he hasn't been knocking guys out. He has shown a strong chin. He's only been finished 3 times by strikes, but he is looking chinnier and chinnier as the years go on. But Alves is not much of a wrestler. He has good body locks, and on top, you know, he doesn't really do much. He does have good ground and pound, but he isn't really active with his takedowns, you know, in the UFC. And I don't expect him to go for takedowns here. He was taken down multiple times in his fight with Max Griffin. He was controlled on the ground, and he just isn't a big submission threat. He only has 2 in his career. He has been submitted 4 times, and his cardio is also questionable. I mean, he gets out-volume, out-hustled in fights. That happened in his last fight against Pepe. And this is a fun fight. It's between 2 vets, and we all know what they like to do. I mean, this fight will probably play out in the feet, but I actually would advise Mean to get some takedowns. I think if he mixes in takedowns, he could probably get them in control, do damage on top. I think on the feet, Means is going to be the bigger guy who's definitely going to be throwing more, pushing the pace. And Alves, I see him giving up the center, but trying to chop the legs, land the hooks, the counter, overheads over the top. And Means hasn't fought someone recently who throws hard low kicks. I do feel he can maybe be susceptible to them. And Means can get hit with some shots in the pocket that he shouldn't get hit with. Like against Serginho Moraes, he made that fight much closer than it should have been. But I just feel like Means will probably be able to wear on Alves with his pace, push him back with the size. And I think he could overwhelm him if he gets him near the fence with elbows and knees. But I'm going to pick Means via decision. I just think he's going to be able to do a little bit more than Thiago Alves and get it done in this one. So I'm going with Tim Means to get the win. And up next here, we have another pretty sick fight. Rob Font taking on Ricky Simone. And Rob Font, he's finally getting his first start of 2019. He had 2 previous matchup fallout, and he's coming off that dominant win over Sergio Pettis. And he's one of the more dangerous fighters in the division. I mean, he has big power, and he's obviously going to be looking to test that chin of Simone after Simone just got knocked out. But he kind of lost a little bit of his momentum that he had because of the layoff. But Ricky Simone, he needs to bounce back here. He was a massive favorite over Uriah Faber, but he was caught with the overhand and then eventually finished with ground and pound. A lot of people think that was an early stoppage, but he shouldn't put himself in that position. And this is an awesome fight, though. I think Ricky's going to have to wrestle first to open up his striking. He has to be careful. He has to use low kicks, time double legs. And I see that as the game plan for Simone. Low kicks, double legs, just keep the pace high. Try to wear Font out. Font has 30% takedown defense. He hasn't fought many wrestlers, so, I mean, that's a glaring thing there. And Simone is obviously an incredible wrestler. And Font, he stands tall. He's heavy on his lead leg due to his boxing style. And Rafael Assuncao was able to take him down pretty easily, and he controlled him in top position. He was passing guard. He was dominating. But Assuncao is one of the better jiu-jitsu black belts in the UFC. He doesn't get many takedowns, and he was able to take down Font pretty easily. So that was kind of telling. But Font tends to try to jump guillotine instead of trying to defend the takedowns. I don't think he's going to be able to get that against Simone, and he needs to try to defend the takedown instead of going to his back. He is active in his guard throwing up submissions, but when Assuncao passes guard, he was able to move into dominant positions, have strong control. And Simone, he isn't the best at holding guys down unless he can take the back. So I definitely see him looking for the back, but I think in order for him to win, it needs to be a lot like his fight with Montel Jackson, where he keeps the pace high, he's relentless with the takedowns, and even if he stands back up, he's looking for it again. He has the cardio to keep going. And when Simone gets a few takedowns, that's when he can get his left hook to the body going, his right hook to the head, and his left hook to the body, left hook to the head. I mean, he starts to kind of go body head, go over the top, kind of try to disguise his level changes with the body shots. But Font's chin is a little bit questionable. He's been dropped by shots that didn't seem super hard. But Rob Font, man, he's an extremely sharp puncher. His punches come straight. They come fast. They have a lot of pop on them. And he walks POTUS down very well. He works behind that jab, that 1-2. And his 1-2s are fast. They're accurate. He also has an excellent counter uppercut step-in knee, which I feel he's going to be fading a lot, throwing a lot of those in this matchup to discourage level changes. And Font's going to be much cleaner with the hands than Simone. If they trade in the pocket, I see Font definitely hurting Simone. Font's going to want to pressure, try to make the cage small, fade, control distance with the jab, try to draw up bad attempts at closing the distance or bad takedown attempts from Simone and then putting it on him. And if he keep it on the feet, put damage on Ricky early, maybe he'll get Ricky gun-shy and then be able to control the whole fight with the jab. But Ricky Simone is another guy with the heart of a lion, man. I mean, you're going to have to really put him out or really hurt him, in my opinion, to discourage him. But he's another guy that kind of has a suspect chin. He's been hurt and dropped before, like in his last match. And he tends to panic wrestle when he's hurt. We saw that against Anderson Dos Santos. And if Font is to get a submission, I think it's going to be after he studs Ricky on the feet. But I expect Ricky to try to push a very high pace, not let Font get started. I see him trying to get takedowns from the first 10, 20 seconds of the fight. And making it known, Font will have to try to stand up off his back to win. And I think Simone is going to be very motivated to get in here, get back in the win column. Two losses in a row would be a huge blow to his career. And I'm actually going to pick Ricky Simone by decision. I think he's going to get takedowns, get some cage control time, and it's going to open up his striking after a while. I see his low kicks being effective. And I think he's going to be able to grit this win out. So I'm going with Ricky Simone to get a decision victory here. And up next year we have a fight with Yadong Song taking on Cody Stamann. And man, I feel like in this fight it's obviously a grappler versus striker matchup with Stamann wanting to get the fight to the ground. I'm not really impressed with Stamann's striking, man. I mean, he's a decent jab, straight right hand, good lead left hook. He'll throw some oblique kicks to the legs. He throws a lot of kicks that I just don't really think are very good. And he will attack the body as well. But man, I mean, I just don't like the way he holds his hands low, and he isn't a big power striker, and the way that he gets inside, I mean, unless he could get the takedowns where he establishes the double leg, his striking inside is terrible. I mean, he's so hittable, he doesn't really do anything on the feet that's dangerous, man. I mean, I've seen him talking about he's gonna knock Yadong Song out. I mean, good luck with that, man. I don't think his striking is dangerous at all, and I think he's so hittable. I think he's very hittable. I mean, we saw that against Tom Dukinwall where, you know, he won that fight with this wrestling. And he's an awesome wrestler. I mean, he's very explosive. He sets his shots up well with the strikes. He'll double jab into the double leg. But he can kind of get a little bit obvious with his entries. He can use the same entries all the time. And, man, I just feel like Song is on another level than this guy, man. I feel like Song is much faster than him. I feel like Song is just a next level athlete, man. I feel like he really is. He has a long karate stance. He's very fast in and out. And his distance control is just incredible, which I feel like is going to be the tale of this fight. I don't think he's going to let Stamann get inside at all. I think he's going to be sliding in and out of range. He's excellent at cutting the cage off, making it small. And I feel like early on, he's going to be playing the range game on the back foot with his right hand, with his overhand right, with his right hook, with his 1-2s. And I think he's going to be pinging Cody Stamann, he's trying to get inside, just pinging him. And I think Stamann is going to be, you know, taunting, trying to be like, oh, that wasn't shit. Oh, you know, and trying to kind of like act like he's not hurt. But he's going to be getting bombed on, in my opinion. And I think when Song starts to realize that Cody's kind of has nothing for him on the feet, that's where he's going to start to come forward, really start to put it on him. And that's where his takedown defense is going to have to hold up, because Cody's going to be trying to take him down at that point. But, you know, we've seen, you know, him bully fighters with knees in the clinch, elbows. He landed a really nasty elbow in his match that finished Felipe Aranches. And his takedown defense is good. I mean, he was able to reverse a double leg of Aranches, get on top, land brutal ground and pound. And, man, when he fought Vince Morales, he had some good double legs as well. And I feel like Vince Morales is a harder fight for Yadong Song than Cody Stamann, because Vince Morales was dangerous on the feet. He was sharp. And Song, you know, his chin is maybe a little bit questionable, and he can get hit with some shots at times. And Vince Morales was pretty close to landing some nice shots. He did land some good counters, but Yadong Song really dominated that fight. And in his last fight, he went out there against Alejandro Perez and slept Perez badly in the first round. And I actually thought Alejandro Perez defeated Cody Stamen in their fight. I mean, it was very close. It was back and forth. But, you know, I thought that Perez was the only guy that did anything in that fight. I mean, he didn't get barely any takedown, Stamen, and he didn't do much on the feet at all. I felt like Perez should have got that win. But they did give it to Cody Stamen there. He did, you know, was the guy going forward. He was the guy pressing the action. So I get why they gave him the fight. But against your dog, Songman, I just don't like this matchup for Cody Stamen. And, you know, never, in no other part of my life am I going to ride your dog. But shit, man, I've been riding your dog for a while. Every single fight, we've been using him as like a confident pick and the party of the week. And shit isn't going to change this week, man. I really am bullish on this guy beating Cody Stamen. And I think it's going to be, I think he's going to knock Cody Stamen out. I think he's going to knock him out in the first or the second round. And I think it's going to be a dominant, easy performance for your dog, Songman. I think he needs to step up. I just don't think guys like Stamen are going to do much to him, man. I really don't. I feel like your dog is going to go out there and get it done. So I'm good with your dog, Song, first round TKO. And I'm next here with a fight here with Aspen Ladd and Yana Kunitskaya. And it's two girls who have grappling-based styles. You know, Kunitskaya relies on her height, her size, her physicality to get tie-ups, control against the fence, get those double underhooks. But she isn't extremely aggressive from that position. She will throw some knees to the body, elbows off the break, and her clinch control, though, is very good. She'll really slow down the fight by just controlling fighters against the fence, and she's good at waiting for opponents to make a mistake, and that's where she'll land throws, get body locks, hip tosses. But Yana will look to chain wrestle with singles, doubles as well. And in top position, though, Kunitskaya is not very aggressive. She doesn't really have the greatest top control. She will control from inside opponent's guards, but she doesn't advance position very much. She will try to turk the legs, move into mount, or take the back. And when she can get the hip tosses directly into side control, she does have a half-decent crucifix position. But her striking, to me, is a little bit questionable. She's stiff. She's a little bit slow for the division. And she tries to work behind her reach, her jab, her left hook. And she'll throw straight punches far and away more than any others. But she throws a lot of oblique kicks, knees, front kicks to the body, to the head. I have seen opponents catch her kicks and take her down. And she does like to use a lot of spinning back fists. And she tends to throw that in the pocket to back fighters off, in my opinion. But it can also get her in trouble. She will do the same with the spinning back kick. She'll kind of try to walk fighters into the spins. But if you could push Kunitskaya backwards, she's very vulnerable. She'll pull her chin high, doesn't move her head much at all. And her punches in the pocket are easy to see coming. Fighters can slip and rip. And she holds her hands too low. Fighters can walk her down, put a lot of damage on her. Marion Renault really broke her nose badly. I actually feel Renault won that fight. But Marion is also a main training partner of Aspen Ladd, so I'm sure she's telling her some information. And once fighters start to land clean on Yana, she panics and she starts to heavily reach for the clinch. I don't think she really has the greatest chin. She crumbled quickly under the power of Cyborg. And defensively, Yana's wrestling is not bad, but she can get taken down off of naked kicks. And against the cage, Kunitskaya's takedown defense is not as good. She will jump on guillotines, but doesn't chain wrestle the best there, and she's not bad off her back. She is very aggressive with her guard. She will not only attack with elbows but submissions. Really nice armbar that she caught Tanya Evinger in, and she does a great job of when she goes for the armbar, she'll hook the leg, and then if she can't get the armbar, she'll start to attack with a heel hook or sweep. And she's very calm on her back. She really doesn't take much damage if she's inside of her guard. But you know, being so aggressive does come with risk, because if she can't get the submission, then she allows fighters to move into dominant positions and get submissions themselves. You know, Tanya Evinger, in the second fight they had, she was able to survive the submission attempts, took the back, got the rear naked choke. And Kunitskaya only has one career submission. She has been submitted two times. In this fight, I think Kunitskaya needs large periods of clinch control, and I'm not sure she's going to be able to take Ladd down. I actually feel the striking is close. I think Ladd will have a slight advantage. I feel like she's going to be the one going forward pressuring, and I think she has better head movement, and she's a little bit better in the pocket. But for Aspen, I think she has multiple paths to victory. Pressure, boxing on the feet, I think she can get takedowns, pass the guard, finish the fight. And inside, like I said, Ladd has much better head movement, shot selection. She won't throw body head. She keeps the volume high. And she has much tighter boxing defense than Yana does. If she could stay in Yana's chest on the feet, dig the body, use a good anti-clinch, I could see her breaking Kunitskaya with pressure. And Ladd just has to be careful entering range standing up. She doesn't have long-range attacks, and she can enter it on straight lines. And Yana is longer with quicker hands and feet, probably. So she may try to catch Ladd as she comes in, pot shot and grab, or pot shot and move. But if they are to grapple, I just think Lash is a stronger grappler. And even if she gets put on her back, I see her scrambling back to her feet or to top position. And I think if Yana gets top position, she won't be able to do damage. Where is as if Lad gets top position, I can see Lad finishing the fight. And, you know, Lad has to be diligent not to get caught in submission. But if she passes the guard, I think she's going to dominate on top. And Lad, the one way I could see Yana winning this fight, and it's a big way, is Lad has been controlling the clinch of the cage previously. You know, she lost the first round to Lena Landsberg because of that. And I imagine this being the second camp in a row to game plan for Yana for MMA Gold. I think they're going to know about that clinch game, have the anti-clinch game on point. And if Lad does do that, she will win this fight. She has to be motivated after getting, you know, finished by TKO in less than 10 seconds. Or I don't even remember how long that was. But she has to be ready to shut everyone up that thinks she can't make 135, thinks that she can't perform there. And if Lad's, you know, a future contender, like people believe her to be, she's going to beat Yana Kunitskaya. Yana's breakable. She's been finishing 3 of her 4 losses. And my pick is going to be Aspen Ladd via third round TKO with ground and pound. So I'm going with Aspen Ladd to get back on track here.
Fuck. Up here, up next, we have this fight. I don't have a ton of interest in this fight with Ben Rothwell taking on Stefan Struve. So breakdown's going to be pretty quick here, but Ben Rothwell, he's still in search of his first win since April of 2016, and since returning back from his USADA suspension, he's 0-2, and he took a bad beating in his last match versus Andrei Arlovski, and this is going to be Rothwell's third fight of 2019, but he definitely needs a win here. And for Stefan Struve, you know, he had that recent retirement, which was very short-lived. He retired after earning that submission over Marcos Rogério de Lima, I believe in February, but he's coming right back here. And he's only 31 years old, so it's not like Struve is that old, but he has taken a lot of punishment. He's been fighting for a long time. But, man, I mean, this fight is interesting, right? Because Ben Rothwell in his last fight just looked horrible. I mean, he was plodding into range, looked extremely slow. And he did the same thing as Blagoy, where I think Ben Rothwell, his style that he likes to do now is I think he knows he's super slow. So he just wants to pressure you, get you backed up where he can land a counter shot. So he'll take a shot to give a shot. He'll land that counter and just try to put you out. And he's constantly pressuring forward. He definitely has great cardio and durability for a big guy because Andrei Arlovski put fucking damage on that dude, like really beat him up bad. And Rothwell has no quit in him. He was continuing to come forward and he started to put some damage on Andrei as well. And Rothwell obviously has that one punch power. He has that one hitter quitter. And, you know, he can come over the top with the hook, with the overhand, and knock Stefan Struve out for sure. So Struve has to always be careful. But Rothwell, man, I mean, in that fight with Arlovski, he was plodding into range. And Arlovski would land 3, 4, 5 shots and exit before Rothwell even threw a punch. And it was just like, that was the tail of the fight. He would plod into range. Andrei would land 3, 4, 5 punches or 4 or 5 punch combination with a spinning back fist or whatever he's throwing. Rothwell was taking the shot, standing there like a zombie. And then Andrei would exit out and he would reset and they would do that same thing again. So Rothwell didn't show me anything in that fight. He didn't go for a takedown. He wasn't trying to mix it up. And in the fight with Stefan Struve, I mean, I do feel like Struve is going to be much faster than Ben Rothwell. I think he's going to have, you know, faster hands, faster feet, and he just needs to keep this guy on the outside. Throw these straight punches, man. Throw the front kick up the middle and exit after you land. Don't stay there for them to hit you. And it should be a super easy fight for Stefan Struve because I don't think Ben Rothwell is going to be trying to take him down. And even if he does, Struve is dangerous in his guard as well. And, man, I mean, it's hard to pick Stefan Struve either, though, man, because Ben Rothwell, it's kind of interesting, right, because it's like, I feel like Ben Rothwell still has the heart, the will, or he's shown it in recent fights, and he has that one-punch knockout power, and I feel like Stefan Struve, he maybe doesn't have that heart and that will, but he's just better than Ben Rothwell athletically. He has a more diverse striking style, but it's just like, is he going to be able to hold up to that 3-round pressure and the bombs that Ben Rothwell is throwing, or is he going to get hit and get knocked out, or what's going to happen, man? It's a little bit interesting of a fight, but it's like, I don't really know why these guys are, I don't know. I don't think either of these guys are going to do much after this win, whoever wins, but I'm going to pick Stefan Struve to win via decision. I think that Rothwell took a lot of damage in his last fight. He's coming back pretty fast. And, you know, I think that, I don't know. I'm just going to pick Stefan Struve via decision. And we have the co-main event here with Cynthia Calvillo taking on Marina Rodriguez. And Marina Rodriguez, man, she's an undefeated fighter. She's looking to jump into title contention. She's fresh off of the destruction of Tisha Torres over three rounds. And now she's getting another big name in Cynthia Calvillo. And if Rodriguez can get a finish or a dominant victory, she'll likely get a top five opponent in her next match. And, you know, she looks like a good player here in the division. And for Cynthia Calvillo, she's still trying to get back in the groove, be more active since her USADA suspension. She's only been able to fight twice in 2 years, and she was scheduled to face a legend in the division in Claudia Gadelha, and now she's getting a completely different matchup with Marina Rodriguez, and it's a very risky fight for Calvillo to take because Rodriguez is a beast, but she's not very well known. But Calvillo has been training in Thailand at Tiger Muay Thai for about 2 months, so she did get a bit lucky in her replacement being a Muay Thai specialist. She's definitely been able to get high-level looks as far as stand-up and should be ready for what Rodriguez has to offer. And this is a good fight because I definitely feel like Rodriguez has a massive striking advantage and Calvillo has a massive advantage on the mat. And I think Calvillo has a more significant advantage probably in terms of if she takes Marina down, I think Marina definitely will not get up and could be finished. Whereas on the feet, I feel like Calvillo has much more success in the stand-up potentially in this fight if she could establish the wrestling. But Rodriguez has to break Calvillo or put enough damage on her where she could start to go forward, force the bad takedown attempts, and beat her up in the clinch, disengage, and just kind of beat her ass. But Calvillo, he's actually decent with her boxing footwork, gauging distance. She has a very nice jab, good one too, but her defense is not great, especially in the pocket. She does do a good job of parrying punches, countering, and she'll also attack the body, which helps disguise her level changes, and her fluidity with her hand and feet combinations are not at the level of Rodriguez, but they're definitely improving. If Calvillo can establish a takedown, though, I don't think she's going to have much success striking. I think in the pocket, she will get tagged hard. I just don't think she can compete there. Her clinch game, you know, we're going to have to see it. It maybe will have taken a leap up since training at Tiger. And I would look to get clinch takedowns here because Randa had success with them in their fight. And Calvillo also has good timing on body locks, double legs. She catches kicks very well. And if she can negate the king game of Rodriguez by catching her kicks, that would be huge, especially if she can get takedowns off that. Calvillo, you know, she's a Mexican, though. She's very tough. I don't think she's going to break or stop coming forward. And she will be able to push the pace. And she's the fighter who's coming on a full camp. But she needs to move, look for takedowns early, not be stationary. She has to be able to catch a kick and a takedown or time the takedown very early, in my opinion. And if she can do that, you know, she's good at creating scrambles, jumping on the back, getting flying submissions. And if she can get top position early in a round, I think the round is hers. And I think she could easily find the submission as well. And I see her having a better chance at finishing the fight. But I think Rodriguez has a clear path to victory. If she could stuff the takedowns, come forward, she should win. But if Calvillo could somehow get it down twice or get it down, you know, she could get the submission or decision win herself. But man, I mean, Rodriguez as a striker, she's very, very sharp. She's good at striking going forward and backwards, playing the range game very well. Really nice jab, super straight punches. And her 1-2 is a piston, man. She'll mix in long hooks as well. And she'll blitz forth 1-2s or right hook, straight right hand combination. She'll follow those up with low kicks. And she has excellent front kicks to the body, to the head, oblique kicks. She'll throw side kicks. And when Rodriguez gets confident, she'll start to close the distance with Superman punches, elbows, spinning kicks. And her Thai plum clinch is just excellent, man. She has nasty knees, nasty elbows. But she doesn't have the fastest feet. She can do a lot of standing in front of opponents. And Randa Marcos did have some success with her striking by pressing forward, throwing combinations. And Rodriguez, she doesn't move her head much. So if you could walk through her shots and counter, she's there to be hit. And Marcos also established a takedown early, and then she had success feigning the takedown, coming over the top with shots. But in her last fight, Rodriguez's Torres gave her the fight she wanted. Torres was trying to play the outside game, dart in, dart out, and Rodriguez was just able to pick her off from distance. But Marina Rodriguez, I would say she's a average grappler. Her clinch game is elite. She can really batter opponents with elbows, knees, great frame with her forearm to create distance and just go to town. She also forced opponents to give up takedown attempts just because she's throwing the elbows. And she's really good at breaking that posture with the frame. And she showed good balance and good takedown defense against the cage against Torres. She was also able to counter a double leg with a guillotine, which forced Torres to go to her back. But Rodriguez wasn't able to hold Torres down. And she was dominating in the clinch against Torres, and Torres is one of the stronger athletes in the division. But when she fought Randa Marcos, Marcos did get some head and arm throws, and Rodriguez, off of her back, showed some weakness. Randa Marcos was able to dominate her in top position, mount her, beat her up, got a 10-8 round, and Rodriguez wasn't able to get close to standing up. And, you know, she's in a fish out of water on the mat. She can defend herself and survive, but against Calvillo, maybe not. And Jessica Aguilar, she was able to get her in a triangle, almost finish her with an armbar when Rodriguez was in top position inside of her guard. And Rodriguez needs to treat the ground like lava in this fight. Don't allow herself to be taken down or even be in top position. And, you know, I'm going to pick Rodriguez by decision, though. I think that she's going to be able to deny the majority of the takedowns and just outclass Calvillo standing. Calvillo is someone I wouldn't bet against or count out, though, but I'm going with Marina Rodriguez via decision here. And we're at the main event here with Jairzinho Rozenstruik taking on Alistair Overeem. And Alistair Overeem is going to looking to be turning back another rising star, move back towards another title shot. And he's won back-to-back fights after two losses in a row. And he's joined Elevation Fight Team. He's trained alongside a beast like Curtis Blaydes. And he's been using much more grappling. He finished his last two opponents with ground and pound. But he's a very good striker. He's definitely going to be the most skilled fighter that Rozenstruik has ever faced. And I expect Overeem to be defensive standing, though. I think he's going to be looking to counterpunch, throw a lot of fakes, feints, try to lure his opponent in and clinch up with him or pot shot him. He does have a nasty straight right hand. He's very quick and fluid with both his hands and his kicks. Really nice counter left hook. He can land it while angling off. Really nice low kicks and occasional hard body kick. He'll also get creative, you know, he'll throw those front kicks to the face, those jumping kicks like he landed on Arlovski. And, you know, Alistair, he's struggled in fights with people who have similar reaches. Like, he has UFC losses to Antonio Silva, Travis Brown, Ben Rothwell, Stipe, Ngannou, Curtis Blaydes. And all those guys have had a longer reach than Alistair. Rozenstruik is a 78-inch reach, so, you know, it's a little. Alistair is 80 inches, so he's not as long, but it's pretty close. And Overeem needs to be vigilant at all times in this fight. I mean, we've seen what Jair has been doing, guys, knocking him out in less than 30 seconds. But Overeem is a knocker lord himself. He has 21 knockouts. And his chin, man, I mean, he's been finished 13 times by strikes. So Overeem is aware his chin is gone. He tends to be very careful nowadays. And he has to do that again. He just can't get touched. But Overeem is an underrated grappler. He's gotten more grappling-centric later on in his career. When fighters close the distance on him, he'll clinch up, get double underhooks, and he's just devastating with knees to the body and the head, man. I mean, he's finished multiple fights with clinched knees. His takedown defense is very good, and on top, he's good. He showed good takedowns against the cage, good clinch takedowns. He doesn't really shoot takedowns, but his ground and pound where he can get top position is just devastating. I mean, the hammer fists he used to finish Sergei Pavlovich were scary. And he also has a very good guillotine, and he isn't great off his back. And, you know, I don't feel like that's going to be a worry here. But, you know, if he gets this fight to the ground, which obviously I think that's going to be his game plan, I think he's going to have a massive advantage over Rozenstruik, and he's probably going to be able to finish the fight. But Alistair Overeem, you know, he's going to be tasked with slowing down the hype train that is Jairzinho Rozenstruik, and that's not going to be an easy thing to do. Rozenstruik has entered the UFC with a bang. He's 3-0 in 2019, two knockouts in under 30 seconds. And he was able to take out a legend in Andrei Arlovski easily, and now he's ready to collect another scalp. But he's jumping in on short notice here. He's express fighting Francis Ngannou if he is to win, so he's very confident. But Jairzinho has very good stand-up, heavy inside-outside low kicks, a great jab, good power in both hands. He'll throw a jab right hook, jab overhand right combination, really nice powerful left hook, nice uppercut left hook, and he's a fleet of foot, man. He's fast, he'll close the distance with head kicks, flying knees, and he's very explosive in close range. He'll just explode and take you out, but he likes to throw a jab or straight right hand to a head kick, and you know, he will look to stand stationary and just try to catch opponents with left hooks, uppercuts as they come inside, which is exactly what he did to Arlovski. But he landed that left hook, right uppercut to a head kick combination that put out Albini in his debut as well. He dropped Alan Carter with a jab, finished Arlovski with one punch. So, I mean, this guy's been showing some elite power, 7 knockouts and 8 wins. He's never been finished by strikes, and Jairzinho has a ton of knockouts as well as a kickboxer, so he has a lot of experience as a striker. but his grappling is questionable. His takedown defense is not good. He was taken down multiple times in round one by Junior Albini, and Albini was able to pass his guard into side control, attack with Kimura, took his back. And when he fought another guy, Sergey Kovalev, he was taken down in the second round. He couldn't get Kovalev off of him. Kovalev was able to get to side control, landed some nice elbows, knees. And he did deny Kovalev from taking them out, but he was on his back for the whole round. And it just didn't look very good. But, I mean, Jairzinho, he allows fighters to clinch up with him against the cage far too easily, in my opinion. He backs himself up. And he can kind of look like he's a little bit worried about his takedown defense and not let his hands go, at least first in his fights with Kovalev and Albini. And he has no submissions, and I feel Overeem could even submit him from inside of his guard potentially, but obviously I don't see Rozenstruik getting takedowns. But he needs to avoid going to the mat, even if he's in top position. He does fight smart, and I don't think he should gas, but to me this fight is pretty self-explanatory. Overeem, he needs to get the range fast, pressure effectively, back Rozenstruik against the cage, get in the clinch. And in the clinch, I believe Overeem is going to be much more dangerous than Jairzinho with his knees, with his elbows. And I feel once he can start landing those knees, those elbows, it's going to open up the takedown. And if Overeem gets top position in this match, I expect a mauling. I don't think Jairzinho will be able to survive any extended period of time on the mat with Overeem. Overeem will get to a dominant position and put him out by KO or TKO for sure. For Jairzinho, he's going to be looking to put one on Overeem's chin and put him down. Overeem's chinny. Jairzinho just needs one moment to change his life. And if he can catch Overeem, put him out, especially early, I do expect him to probably set up that Francis fight. So Jairzinho has a lot to play for here. He's accurate. He's fast. He's extremely dangerous. And he's quick and sharp. I mean, an older Reem has to be very careful here. But I'm actually going to pick Reem via first-round TKO with ground and pound. I just believe he's going to be able to clinch up against the cage, do some damage, get the takedown, and just finish the fight. Jairzinho still has to prove a little more to me. You know, he looked awful on his back versus Junior Albini. He put himself in positions that made it easy to take him down, like with his back against the cage. And he can't be there with Overeem's clinch game. I think Overeem has been training. He should be sharp, ready to go, and have a game plan of taking Jair down. You know, Walt Harris, who he was going to fight previously, would have had a similar game plan to Jairzinho. So I don't think Overeem had to change much in terms of what he wants to do in there. I think he would have wanted to take down Walt Harris and take him out in the first round as well. So I think this should be like a pick-em. I think it's a really close fight. But I'm going with Overeem via first-round finish with the ground and pound. And for my most confident pick of the night, I'm going to be picking Joe Selecki. And for the parlay of the week, it's going to be Yadong Song and Joe Selecki. So, yeah, hopefully we can end this year with a bang. Make sure to comment, like, subscribe. Tell me who you're picking, who you're betting on, what you think of my picks. And, yeah, if you have someone else, if you think someone on my parlay of the week is going to lose, tell me why. I mean, I know a lot of people think Stamen's going to be able to go in there and get the win, but don't really see that. I really don't. But, yeah, so let me know what you think of this video. I will be back next week for the big card, UFC 245. I'm actually going to that event, so I'm pretty pumped about that. But should be sick, you know, Colby versus Usman. But yeah, so thanks for watching, and thanks for always supporting the channel.